Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 26 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky, life-loving creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and, of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free F-R-E-E ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And as I've been mentioning, week after week, you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I've put a link to it in the description page for this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And there are two people that I want to say a special hello to this morning. One is, well, she goes by the name of Jamie Mi Amor on YouTube, and she is the second person to leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, and I didn't know that that was important in terms of the show reaching a wider audience, but apparently it is. It matters. It counts. So maybe I will start bugging y'all to get over to iTunes to subscribe to my show and give me a review. And Jamie's message there really clicked with me because she's a mom with a special needs child. And you know I have a special place for my fellow parents with special needs kids. She's a stay-at-home mom, a writer, and an artist. And so obviously we have tons in common. And I just think the internet has been so huge for people like us, people who work from home or who have limited time because we're raising kids, much less kids with special needs. It's just been invaluable in terms of meeting like-minded people and making those human connections. Ironically enough, the machines have brought us together. I also received an email this morning from someone named Jamie. The spelling was different, but I suspect it might be the same person. But regardless, that email was very sweet and uplifting. So in case we are talking about two different Jamies here, I'll just say thanks to the Jamies. And then the other person I wanted to give a little shout out to, really, she just kind of poured her heart out to me one day, and I'm not going to tell you about what because it was very personal, but her story really resonated with me, which is, again, amazing considering we are basically strangers. But Erica, you know who you are. I'm sending you a huge virtual hug, and I hope it finds its way to you over these shaky airwaves, and I'm sending you all my love and tons of good vibes. As I'm really doing for this entire community, maybe this just makes me old, but I'm still super amazed by the internet, especially the last couple of years because I've really utilized it and reached out, you know, through YouTube and blogging and here on Blog Talk, and it's just astounding to me how many connections I've made that feel they've got some weight to them, you know. I just didn't really understand that you could use the internet to make this kind of connection and a community. So I'm very impressed by that. And I finally got a couple of days off this weekend. And considering that I work for myself, I suppose the correct way to say that would be I finally gave myself a couple of days off. And I'm definitely feeling refreshed and perky and back to my usual self, which is nice and a total relief. But what's funny about that time off is that I spent a good chunk of it online, and I did manage to get out and about in the real world, but I also got all wrapped up in New York Fashion Week and pinning my favorite pictures from Fashion Week, which I look forward to every year, and then I got caught up in this fairly heated debate that was happening over in the witchy YouTube community, and that's actually what inspired today's show. That debate brought up a couple of points for me, and instead of making a video response, which a lot of people did, which is why I guess I'm just calling it the debate, because a lot of people chimed in the videos and comments. I know some people did blog posts on it. I just thought it would be more laid back and that I'd have more space to just kind of riff on the themes that stood out for me here on this radio show in no makeup, not in my pajamas, but wearing this very interesting little muumuu thing that you're totally missing out on not being able to see. In short, that debate was about cultural appropriation, even though I don't think that term was actually used at any point. But that's really what it was about. It was about cultural appropriation as it applies to modern paganism, which was funny to me because there would be no paganism in Western society today if it weren't for cultural appropriation. And if you're going to be a stickler, modern paganism should actually be called neo-paganism because of the cultural appropriation it is founded on. And lucky for me, I am not a stickler. And cultural appropriation, especially as it applies to religion and spirituality, it's not an issue for me. It's something that I, for the most part, I embrace. But apparently, there are neo-pagans who feel offended by this kind of spiritual cherry-picking, especially when the more eclectic practitioners do not research the traditions that they are pulling from. And I'm not saying there's no validity to the argument that one could stand to benefit from understanding the tradition, or in the case of an eclectic practitioner, the traditions one is pulling from. But when it comes to spirituality, I'm a person who feels that unless you are blatantly harming someone, defacing property, or infringing on the rights of others, there are no rules. There are no shoulds. And I hate to hear so many people jumping on the bandwagon of how I or anyone else should conduct my personal practice. And those two words, I think, are really important in what I'm trying to say here. Personal practice. It's personal. It's my spirituality is not a democracy. It is all about me and my connection to spirits, or the divine, or God, or however you want to look at it. And no matter how many YouTube videos of mine you watch, or how many blog talk radio shows you listen to, or blog posts you read, or even if you know me in person, you're never really going to know and understand that connection that I have with spirit. And I can only just speak for myself, and I know this debate was not directed at me at all in any way, shape, or form, but I find myself in the camp that was really kind of in a backhanded way being attacked. It was, I hate this about eclectic, you know, practitioners and blah, blah, blah. I don't mean it to be insulting, but... so I wouldn't say I got upset about it, but I definitely felt like, well, hey, I just want to defend this group of people because for the most part, in fact, entirely, for the entire part, for the people that I am interacting with on the internet, the people that I include in my little community, the videos I watch and the people I talk to behind the scenes, we all are, you know, we're pretty strange. We all are doing our own thing. Nobody's really practicing in the same way as somebody else. We all are extremely eclectic, which I love. I love that diversity. But what we also all have in common is sincerity. Everybody that I am interacting with is completely authentic and sincere in what they are doing. And I don't think it's for anybody else from the outside looking in to say if they're authentic or being sincere or if they're disrespecting someone else's tradition. I don't think you can disrespect someone else's tradition unless, of course, you're like spray painting their temple or abusing people or being a bigot. But in terms of me practicing my personal path, there's nothing I can do in the privacy of my home or out in the forest when I'm all alone that is disrespectful to you as a traditionalist, someone who practices an established tradition. And then the second word that I wanted to kind of riff on here, I got off on a little tangent there, was practice. You know, it's a personal practice. And practice, for me, in my opinion, practice is something that you do again and again and again but you never really arrive at any one solid place. It's a practice. It's ongoing. And we practice our spirituality in order to keep that connection in our life, in order to stay in touch with source energy or however we perceive God. And totally going off on a tangent, but this just popped into my head, so I'm just going to say it. I also believe that we are spirit. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. So even an atheist is innately spiritual, whether they recognize it or not. From my point of view, they are a spirit. And I know spiritual atheists. Jen from A Broom in the Moon, she's a spiritual atheist. And there's quite a few of them online if you want to Google that term. So there are atheists that recognize that they are a spirit. I suppose they just believe that, I guess, I don't know what they believe, actually. I'm not going to go off on that tangent too much. But I guess they believe that their spirit goes out like a light when their body dies. I'm not really sure. If you're a spiritual atheist out there and you'd like to have that conversation with me, you can email me or go on to my Facebook. You can find me at Joanna DeVoe everywhere. And I really wanted to call this episode Spiritual Cherry Pickers and the Traditionalists Who Love to Hate Them, just because I thought it was funny. But for the most part, there wasn't a lot of hate going on. People tried to be very fair in presenting their opinions, but in the end, I do feel like there's a difference between expressing your opinion and passing judgment on someone else's practice. And I guess some people find that to be a slippery slope, but I don't. I really don't when it comes to what other people choose to believe and how they practice. It's really none of my business. Of course, I am endlessly curious and a total nosy body about religion. So I find this stuff really fascinating, which is why I like to watch these YouTube debates and conversations. And I have done a lot of reading up on the various religions out there. For example, do you know that there are people who have built an entire religion around Star Wars and the Jedi Knights? And to that I say, why not? It actually makes sense if you think about it. It makes a hell of a lot more sense to me than some of the religions out there. And keep in mind that I live in the land of Scientology. Like, it's everywhere here. I live out in L.A., for those of you who don't know. And Dana Carvey has this hilarious rant that cracks me up about that. I love it so much that I queued it up for us to listen to here today, but I'm not sure how well running a YouTube clip will come off here on Blog Talk Radio. So I'm just going to save it for the very end in case it turns out horribly wrong or very glitchy. But anyway, he's riffing on what would it take for a Scientologist to think that someone else's religion was really wacky. And it's just so damn funny. I hope you'll be able to hear it clearly enough when I play it for you. But if not, you can find it on YouTube by looking up Dana Carvey and Squatting Monkeys Tell No Lies. And in a way, living in Los Angeles, I am part of a tradition. It is a weird, wacky tradition that's been happening here in LA for many decades. We're kind of famous for it, but we are spiritual explorers. And I know that just irks some people and gets on their nerves. You have to live here and be a certain kind of person to understand. But we are an extremely eclectic bunch. And if you go to like a typical dinner party here or just a party and you sit around talking to people, I mean, you are going to have people that practice yoga and people that are really into like Kundalini, but then there's a lot of people that are into Reiki, and then you have people that are into Kabbalah, you know, Madonna and Demi Moore and all these celebrities famously got into Kabbalah, and celebrities, for better or worse, they kind of lead the way here, or, you know, once they jump on a bandwagon, a lot of other people follow suit. And, you know, the hippie movement was really big here. And so we are just a very interesting mishmash. And there's not a whole lot you can say to someone about your spiritual practice or your religion here that they probably haven't already heard. And the main thing that you will hear over and over and over again is, I'm not really religious, but I'm very spiritual. And that's just such a cliche now, but it's true for me and a lot of people here. And someone who has a book that I think is really interesting and profound and solid and not at all flaky on this subject is Tosha Silver. She has a book called Outrageous Openness that's really about letting spirit be your guide. But she's a proud cherry picker, and she's inspired by a variety of different goddesses and religions. And she actually starts that book by talking about how she just takes inspiration from wherever she gets it, and she kind of goes with the flow. And I think, you know, I'm really just riffing off on my own, going off on my own tangents. This isn't really geared specifically to the debate that happened, which was really about paganism. And really, if you asked me, it wasn't even about paganism. It was about Wicca. And Wicca is really, really new in the history of traditions and religions. And within Wicca, there are a couple of different, or more than a couple, there are a few different traditions that people like to follow. But I'd like to point out that, you know, a lot of people in that community, for those of you who don't know, they will use New Age as a slur. New Age people are sometimes, not always, but sometimes considered flaky, fluffy, and not to be taken seriously. But I would like to point out that the New Age movement is much older than Wicca. The New Age movement, in terms of being centered around the law of attraction, that really came into being in the early 1800s and really picked up steam in the mid-1800s and went all the way through, picking up more steam to the late 1800s and into the 1900s. And then in more recent decades, it kind of turned into the law of attraction. When The Secret came out, it got a real big boost in popularity. But it's been around. It's been around for centuries, and it's nothing new. And I really identify with being a New Age type of person more than I do a Wiccan. I'm not a Wiccan. I don't identify with that at all, although because I choose to call myself a witch, I've done a lot of reading up on Wicca because I wanted to be able to have that conversation. So I guess I'm not one of those cherry pickers that you can complain about not knowing her stuff, because when I want to learn about something, you know, I kind of go full bore and dive into it and learn all I can. But if you're a person who would like to do a little bit of research on the New Age movement and as it is currently and where that was born, there's a book by Maya Doust that I think is super fascinating. It's called The Secret Source. And she actually traces the history of the modern New Age movement back to Mesmer, I think. But that's really interesting. And it used to be called the New Thought Movement, and it was called Spiritualism. But that's a really fun, interesting, intense little book on the history of, you know, where we're at now in the New Age movement. And personally, I have had flirtations with many religions, not because I was looking for a new religion to practice. I was raised in Christianity, Mennonite Brethren, and I'm not interested in practicing any one religion anymore, or even a blend of religions beyond a religion of my own making. But because I like to explore spirituality and the various ways people practice, which is really what religion is all about, it's a group practice, an agreed upon set of rules, dogmas, and routines that a culture, a group of people, have agreed upon practicing in order to communicate with the divine. But because I like to explore that and study that, I have gotten inspiration from a variety of religions, and that has become a part of my personal practice. And our gardeners are here. I'm so sorry if a weed whacker is interrupting the show today. I'm going to carry on and try to hold my concentration, but it's a little distracting. The reason the reason that religion, an established tradition, the reason that doesn't work for me is because, A, I don't feel that I need anyone else's rules or instructions on how I can get in contact with the divine. I don't need a middleman. I believe the divine, spirit, magic, God, it's for everyone. And it is in everyone. It's easily accessible to anyone at any time because we are all a part of the divine. I need to move, guys. Hold on a second. I'm taking you across the room with me here. See if I can get away from this weed whacker because it's really obnoxious. This is the perils of doing a radio show on your phone from your home. Okay, let's see. Okay, so what was I saying? We're all part of the divine, and that is one of the reasons why I don't feel like I need a middleman. And then I think another reason, reason letter B, is what works for me in terms of tuning in and turning on, it varies from day to day. And so I like to have a variety of tools in my spiritual toolbox to pull from. And again, that's why being a cherry picker, I've found it to be beneficial for me. And what has consistently worked for me, and this may just be unique to me, is the place where Taoism, pantheism, the law of attraction, and magic intersect. And I'm careful to use the word magic because Wicca, the modern religion built around what we think were the old ways of witches, is really not for me, as I have pointed out. And partially that's because of these debates that come out about the right and wrong way to practice, but also there's just other components in Wicca that don't quite jibe for me. But I do call myself a witch. But I guess, and I know this may annoy some of you, but I guess that's mostly out of a sense of rebellion and solidarity with the midwives and healers and herbalists and widows of the past who were accused of being witches, which they weren't, and ultimately were persecuted, tortured, and put to death in the most horrific ways for. And I like that I can throw that word around now without getting burned at the stake. I also like it because I'm a big fan of nature and working with the Wheel of the Year, which I did borrow from Wicca, and practicing magic, my magic, magic that works and works and actually produces measurable results. It's not merely a series of rituals that I do according to the right planetary alignments using a list of ingredients that I pulled from a correspondence chart and incantations that I transcribed from a book. And I don't mean to insult those of you who do practice that way because I respect that. I respect what works for you, and you are entitled to practice in whatever way you choose. But the thing is, so am I, and so are my cherry-picking brothers and sisters, regardless if you think they are doing it wrong. And I will tell you that the most powerful magic, magic that actually works and can be proven, the most powerful magic that has happened for me personally, it happened while practicing the law of attraction. And I do have one interesting story in my history as a cherry-picker that, even though I'm big on research and reading books just out of my own, I don't feel an obligation, by the way, you know, in order to honor a tradition I'm pulling from. It's really just out of curiosity and a thirst for knowledge that I do that. But I have a story in my history that kind of underlines that you don't have to know what you were doing or where what you were doing came from in order for it to work. And it's something that I've talked about here before. But briefly, for those of you who missed it, I had a little flirtation with Nichiren Buddhism. And I put in the resource list a book called The Buddha in Your Rearview Mirror by Woody Hochschwender. I don't know how you say his name. But I got a couple books on Nichiren Buddhism, and I was reading about it online. And before I was even halfway through the first book, I was so excited about saying this chant, Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, which loosely translated means respect for the wondrous law of cause and effect through sound. And when you chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo, it's supposed to bring to you whatever it is you're focused on in a kind of law of attraction meets magic kind of way. Holy cow, I'm running out of time. Okay, let me just wrap this up quickly and say I did that chant before I even knew the nuts and bolts of Nietzsche and Buddhism, where it came from, what was it was all about, and it worked like gangbusters for me, and in the end, it ended up making me tens of thousands of dollars, and you'll have to scroll back through my old episodes. It might be the very last episode I did, episode number 25, if you want to hear about that story, but I really have run out of time. And I really want to play this Dana Carvey clip for you. And I meant to talk about cultural appropriation. I know I've been talking a lot about Iggy Azalea, for example, on my Facebook page, and she gets a lot of flack for ripping off hip-hop and rap culture from African Americans. But my take on that is, considering her age, hip-hop and rap were a part of the culture that she grew up in. And when cultures touch, whether it is, you know, white people and hip-hop or Wicca and the New Age movement, when they touch, they influence each other. And you almost can't help it. I think it's just human to do that. And I think that religion and traditions, they evolve over time. And as we get more of a global society, and as the internet brings us closer and closer together, I think you're going to see more and more of that. And even if it irritates you, I think it's good to recognize that that is an ego-based reaction and to see that as an opportunity to live and let live and to release any judgments you have about other people's practices and to just approach it from a place of curiosity. And if you feel tradition is important and if you feel it's important that people respect and honor whatever traditions they're pulling from, I suggest making videos, blog posts, podcasts that say, if you'd like to know what tradition this or that practice came from, I'd love to explain that to you. And then you can go into more detail in a way that will be heard and accepted with an open heart rather than something saying it in a way that creates a knee-jerk defensive reaction. And I put in the resource list today a nice, big, huge list of books that I didn't get around to talking to. I really wanted to get into all of this. There's some books on Gnosticism and Taoism and quantum physics, but if you want to check that out, you can. And I'm just going to say much love and peace to you all right now because I really want to play this Dana Carvey clip for you. And I'm just going to hold the phone up to the speaker and see how that works out. So here's Dana Carvey. Much love. See you next Tuesday. Peace.
And it made me think, what religion would blow away a Scientologist? How weird would the religion have to be before the Scientologist would go, that is whack? Here's what I think it would consist of. We are the cult of the Golden Orb. Our master teaches us that every Tuesday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we are to hold a medium-sized red hot chili pepper between our buttocks for 19 hours and repeat the sacred mantra, Giddy Up Horsey, 51 times. Then, per our instructions, we put on our sandpaper pants and we get in the plastic punishment room. We ask each other the holy question. Are you the lemon? No. Are you the lemon? No. Are you the lemon? No. This can go on for weeks or months. Finally, someone says, I think I am the lemon. They are slapped across the face, stripped naked, and fitted with a sacred made of footy skins and duct tape. They wear wax lips and hum the theme to Y5O 47 times. Then they straddle a chicken. A small chimpanzee is attached to their back. They are fitted in a harness and hoisted 100 feet in the air. They are lowered slowly into a giant vat of lukewarm chocolate pudding as the other church members grab hands and repeat the sacred prayer, squatting monkeys tell no lies.